Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And the title of my message today is The Dream Vision About Forgiveness. This is actually a redo of a podcast I did back in November 2018. And I was listening to it one day. I was reviewing it before I copied it for to send to somebody on a CD that does not have access to the internet. And I did not know that there was this big, huge space in somewhere in the podcast. I don't know what happened, but it was not the recording. It was just this silence, and it was the noise in my house, me talking to my dog, one of my dogs, and stuff like that. So sorry about that. I was pretty embarrassed to find that out. So I'm re-recording it, hopefully to get it all right this time. I'm going to tell y'all this story. This is actually from something called Illustrations Unlimited. It's called Transient Forgiveness. Two little brothers, Harry and James, had finished supper and were playing until bedtime. Somehow, Harry hit James with a stick, and tears and bitter words followed. Charges and accusations were still being exchanged as their mother prepared them for bed. She said, "Now, boys, what would happen if either of you died tonight and you never had the opportunity again to forgive one another?" James spoke up. "Well, okay, I'll forgive him tonight, but if we're both alive in the morning, he'd better look out." How often do we hold on to grudges and choose not to forgive? I thought that story was so cute. Y'all have heard me talk many times about a very difficult situation with someone in my family that happened years ago, and it went on for years, and it was torturous. And this was a person that was, and still is, to my knowledge, out to destroy me completely. And it's, y'all know I teach a lot on the Jezebel spirit. That's the reason. It's because I've encountered it and dealt with it for years at a time. And I know how horrific it is, how traumatizing it is, and how miserable it makes your life. That was what we were all dealing with. You know, and I always went to God and said, "Lord, you know, help me with this. Help me out here." One night I went to sleep and I had a dream vision. And in the dream vision, as it opened up, I was standing in something that looked like a jail. And there was a cell to my right. And this person who had hurt me and hurt all of us was locked in this cell. The first thing I noticed was that this person looked older than they were in the present time when I had the dream vision. I'd say 10 or 15 years older. And the second thing I noticed was I was able to unlock the door. I was unable to lock the cell. I knew instinctively that whatever the key was to that door, I had it. So I put the key in the door and I unlocked the cell and let this person out. And they rejoiced, just so happy to be out. And the next thing, and I just was kind of watching, and the next thing I saw was that person saying, "Oh no." And the Lord showed me that his judgment had fallen. And he showed me that until we release someone we have unforgiveness towards to him, he does not take action. He will not do anything about that situation. Here's why. Anytime we are holding unforgiveness towards someone, it is our form of vengeance. That means we are taking vengeance. And you know, if you take vengeance, he's not going to. Because it's going to be one or the other of you. You don't get to do whatever you want to him and then say, "Okay, Lord, go get him." That's not the way that works. It's your vengeance or his vengeance, but not both. Okay? Not both. And make no mistake, it is difficult to forgive someone who has repeatedly just jabbed you and jabbed you and jabbed you and hurt you every single way they knew how to hurt you when you weren't even doing anything to them. That is extremely painful to do. I cannot imagine how Jesus felt when, you know, he was being crucified, when he was being beaten before that, when he was being persecuted before that, when he literally came to save all of those people too, just like he saved us. And he had never done anything wrong. We've done stuff that's wrong. And some of us, me included, have done lots of stuff that was wrong. But he didn't ever do anything. So I can't even imagine how he felt when it was happening to him. And what I suffered was nothing compared to what he suffered, obviously. But I wanted to share this dream vision with y'all because I wanted to share with you the revelation that he gave me. That, hey, you know, if you want to stay unforgiving towards that person, if you want to be angry at them, you can. That's your choice. But he's not going to avenge what happened to you, as long as that's the case. You have to forgive and let go of all that and let go of your desire for vengeance and your feeling that you should be repaid for that, because you don't get to keep either one of those when you forgive, okay? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Which of us at some time does not struggle to obey these verses? How many of us want to cling to our bitterness and our wrath, and the wrath is, you know, you want to take it out on them, and anger and evil speaking, instead of being kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving as Jesus is towards us? You know, when we forgive, we also have to stop talking about it, okay? That is one of the hardest things to do, to not tell people what has happened to you. That is, I mean, you almost have to tape your mouth shut, right? When somebody's really, really done something bad to you, you want to talk about it because you want to get it out of your system, but you can't. We're not allowed to do that. We have to forgive and pretty much forget. You just have to let it go. Plus, I just did a podcast called Think on These Things that the Lord showed me. If we can't think on things that are pure, just, holy, right, you know, all the things that are in that one verse, if there's not anything in that person that fits that verse, you are not even supposed to be thinking about that person. We just need to completely put them out of our mind. Because if there's nothing good to think about them, then you can only think bad about them, and we're not supposed to do that. How often do we lay in our beds at night and think about the fact that if we do not forgive, he also will not forgive us, and we will not get to spend eternity with him in heaven? We have to forgive or our sins are not forgiven. I don't want my sins back on me, y'all. I don't. I was really happy to get rid of all those sins the first time. I don't have any desire to have any of them back. The reason I teach so often on forgiveness is because I struggle in this area with people who have wounded me very deeply. I struggle in this area. And I'm not ashamed to tell y'all that. It's a human thing. It's just hard when people keep on, I'm talking about the people that keep on hurting you. Like my ex-husband that beat on me for 12 years, I don't have any trouble with forgiveness for him. God helped me forgive him. And he did hurt me again after that one time, not physically, but another way. But I was able to forgive that, and I don't have any hard feelings against him. He's deceased now. May he rest in peace. But other people who keep hurting us, it's hard. It's really hard to forgive, because every time, about the time you get them forgiven again, then here they come back and they take another jab at you, right? I want to see all of y'all in heaven. I'm looking forward to meeting y'all in heaven. And if we don't both make it to heaven, that won't happen, will it? And y'all have heard me talk about this on the podcast. Since I moved to this place in the Ozark Mountains, I have been stabbed in the back by more people who were close friends than any place else I have lived for any 10 years at a time, any other time in my life. I have never experienced anything like the betrayal that I have experienced up here, and I have no idea why, unless it's just because I have not yet passed that test. I have just as much trouble as you forgiving when somebody's mean or hateful to me for no reason, when they stab me in the back, when they talk about me and lie straight to my face. And unlike some people, I'll sometimes be quiet when that's going on and I know they're lying to me and I know they're stabbing me in the back. Sometimes I'll just be real quiet about it and stay calm because I want to see how far they'll take it. If I just, you know, act like I don't know what's going on. It's really interesting, and it's an interesting study in human behavior, and it will show you the true character of that person. It's much easier to let go of a friendship you once treasured when you see that. It is also an exercise in humility to continue to be kind and generous under those circumstances. Forgiveness is work. Surrendering it to the Lord isn't, other than the letting go part, not trying to help him. And I was thinking about these two different examples. I didn't know what else to do back then but to plead with God for help. And I would kneel and cry out to him. And it was real. My fear in his power to send me to hell was real. I mean real. Back when I discovered that verse that if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven, whew, that was serious. And back then, the person I had not forgiven the most was Mike's husband. Hell is a real place, and real people go there to burn in real flames for a very real eternity. And you know, the Bible tells us if we bring our gift to the altar and discover that we have aught against our brother, we need to go to him and make it right. And I prayed about one of the instances here in town that happened. And I said, Lord, do I need to go to that person? Because I'll go over there. And I had not done anything that I knew of to cause this. And the Lord said, no, you did what I told you to do. I said, okay, I want to be sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. So if you've had something similar to happen to you, be sure that you know God does not want you to go to that person. Because let me tell you something. He has had me go to people before that I did not feel I had done anything to and had me apologize to them anyway. And if they don't forgive you, you know, they don't go to heaven either. I believe that's the reason we're not supposed to cause offense. So that's something to think about. We never want to be the cause of someone else going, you know, down that road of unforgiveness. It is their responsibility to forgive, but we need to be sure we did anything we were supposed to do so we won't be held accountable to. The definition of forgive from dictionary.com is to grant pardon for or remission of an offense, a debt, etc., to absolve, to give up all claim on account of, to remit. That means to say it's paid for. It's paid in full. It's like you're stamping it paid in full. Okay, Jesus paid for you too. Stamp. To grant pardon to. You are completely pardoning that person. That does not mean what they did was okay. That does not mean that you ever trust them again or that you go hang out with them or that you go eat lunch with them, okay? It means that you're not going to hold that thing against them in your heart. It means you're not going to talk about it to other people. When the first missionaries came to Alberta, Canada, a young chief of the Cree Indians named Meskepetun, I know I'm saying that wrong, savagely opposed them, but he responded to the gospel and accepted Christ. Shortly afterward, a member of the Blackfoot tribe killed his father. Meskepetun rode into the village where the murderer lived and demanded that he be brought before him. Confronting the guilty man, he said, "You have killed my father. So now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes." In utter amazement and remorse, his enemy exclaimed, "My son, now you have killed me." He meant, of course, that the hate in his own heart had been completely erased by the forgiveness and kindness of the Indian chief. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That's in Proverbs 25. Forgiveness is not easy. It is the most difficult thing you will ever do to forgive someone who has stolen from you, lied about you, hurt you, or broken a vow to you. Forgiveness does not come naturally to us. The normal human response is revenge. The flesh always wants to get even, don't it? But we're not supposed to be living in our flesh. We're supposed to be led by His Spirit. Forgiveness is not denial. You can't just put hurtful things under a rug. Someone hurt you. They wronged you. But the question is, how will you deal with that? Forgiveness is not a one-time event. Forgiveness is an active verb. You have to get up daily and die to that anger in your heart. And it doesn't usually happen overnight. And we have to die to that anger. You get rid of that anger by starving it to death, by not giving into it, not talking bad about them, not talking bad to them, not taking revenge, okay? Forgiveness is not approval. Just because you forgive someone, that does not erase the wrong they have committed. And it does not mean you have to trust them. Forgiveness does not necessarily resume a relationship. Good relationships are built on trust. If someone has hurt you and broken that trust, you can forgive them, but you may not necessarily be able to resume the relationship. I don't know about you, but I don't. A custom of the natives in New Guinea is told. At certain times, they have ritual songs and dances. They work themselves up into a frenzy, and the ritual culminates in what are called the murder songs, in which they shout before God the names of the people they wish to kill. When the natives became Christian, they retained these customs and that ritual. However, in the murder songs, they no longer shouted the names of the people they hated, but the names of the sins they hated, and called on God to destroy them. A pagan custom had been captured for Christ. I love that story. A story is told of someone who once invited a guest lecturer to speak to a counseling class that he was teaching and asked him to specifically discuss the topic of forgiveness. He told a powerful story from his own life that day to illustrate his point that we should forgive. His brother had had many struggles, and one day there was a conflict that arose and somebody shot and killed his brother. The whole family was sad, of course, and grieved over this sudden and unfortunate loss. That guest that day said he struggled initially forgiving the man that killed his brother. After a while, though, God helped him process the tragedy and forgive the murderer. But here's the cool part. For years, his friend had a prayer list with his brother's name on it, and he prayed for him all the time. After his brother's death, he eventually got to the point where he erased his brother's name and inserted the murderer's name in his brother's place on the prayer list, and now he prays for him often. This is forgiveness. And is this not what the Lord told us to do? Pray for your enemies and do not curse them. Okay, we're going to say a prayer for help forgiving someone who hurt you. This is for all the people that need help forgiving. I believe I put this prayer out on the website on the prayers tab. Lord, you said to come boldly before your throne if I am in need to receive your grace, and I need your grace now, Lord. And I need you to help me to forgive that person. I am hurting, Lord. I know you saw what happened because your word says your eyes are every place beholding the evil and the good. I know you love them even as you love me, and that you don't want discord between any of your creation. I ask for forgiveness for harboring ill feelings towards that person, Lord, and I receive your forgiveness now. Lord, I'm having trouble releasing this pain and freely forgiving this person. I pray that you would help me to love them and not hate, to bless them and not curse them, to be kindly affectioned towards them, as your word says, and not to hold anger and unforgiveness towards them. Lord, please help me to overcome the evil done to me with good, as your word commands. I am so grateful that you died on the cross for me and that my sins are forgiven, and I pray your mercy and forgiveness would flow through me right now to this person, and that your precious blood would cover this whole situation, healing them, healing me, healing these wounds on our souls forever, as well as any other that were caused to anyone else, and that your peace would now take over and be all that is between that person and me. Your word says if a person's ways are pleasing to you, that you will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. Your word also commands me to pray for my enemies and those who use and curse me. Lord, so I pray for that person now, and I ask you to bless them, especially with repentance, Lord God, with strength, with understanding, and with salvation, Lord God. And I pray that you will help me to allow your peace that passes all understanding to reign in my heart now and keep my mind and my heart that no bitterness or unforgiveness would be able to abide there. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope this podcast has been a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it.